Good morning, everyone. My name's Terry Nolan. It's great to be back home, or what was my home, for nearly 4 years in the early mid-80s as a PhD student in epi and biostats. For those of you who will be at the dinner tonight, I'll say more about that journey in a lighter way, but it does overlap with some of the messages that I wanted to convey in this session this morning, which is the place of public health in an academic setting and what its implications are for the community in which it's embedded. And as we anticipated our dinner discussion last night, we were going to converge on the themes of the different speakers, so you're going to get more repetition potentially in what we're saying. So I'm going to avoid some of the excellent points that have been made by my predecessors this morning. I want to make a few fundamental points after I just explain briefly the history of what happened with me having left to return to Australia in 1986. It took me 15 years to persuade my Dean of Medicine from a medical school which had been established for about 150 years in Melbourne and was a very strong, one of the strongest medical schools in the world, with strong elements of public health, that actually giving focus to public health was something worthwhile. One of the reasons that happened was that there had been a review of public health investment in Australian academic institutions in the late 90s, and I had been asked, because at the time, as a paediatrician, I was actually in the medical school at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne and considered to be relatively independent. And that review was of a program that had been initiated following a recommendation by a Canadian, Kerr White, who, although he spent most of his career in the US, was born in Winnipeg, is actually an alumnus of this medical school. He had a profound influence in Australia when he was asked by the then Prime Minister in 1985 to review a number of elements of public health infrastructure, leading to significant investment by the health department, federally, in the academic institutions in Australia to actually fortify the development of academic public health. A number of other things also flowed from his recommendations. But the review of that program, which I was involved with, was critical of a number of universities for not actually investing sufficiently in the way in which they had organised public health. And my dean was one who was at the time also chair of the National Health and Medical Research Council, was embarrassed by this, and it led to his determination to establish a School of Public Health at Melbourne, into which I was eventually appointed as its founding director. And over the last 15 years now that we've been in existence, there's been a substantial increase in the academic activity, in the training of students, and a range of other things that there isn't time this morning to go into. But it's been, by any measure, a profound success, and a success which is celebrated by the medical school, which is now our sister in a broad health faculty. And that success, I think, brings lessons for all of us about how to actually take advantage of what Jim and a number of others have mentioned today, which is the realisation around the world of the importance of public health as an organised entity. Now, of course, that doesn't mean universities run public health within our societies. Of course not. The interface between what happens with governments, with the research and development enterprise, which they themselves should be responsible for, with research institutes, with industry, with a number of others that also have an impact and responsibility within public health. The place of an academic institution there is to contribute to the research enterprise. It's to contribute to the training and professional development of that workforce, which across those range of industries and communities is important to actually move that enterprise forward. And so that's what we've been trying to do. What that means, and a number of the previous speakers mentioned this, is that an academic entity has to be deeply engaged within the community that it serves. And that community isn't just government. It's the private sector, it's the healthcare system, whether it's government funded or privately funded, it's industry, it's the manufacturers of vaccines or drugs or other things that have implications for public health. And the discipline, strength, the rigor, the science behind all of that, that is where the core is that we have to contribute, both in terms of the research and its methodology, and also the training. So providing a high level of professional competence and skill for a modern public health workforce. Much of that public health workforce is, unlike medicine, not defined as someone who is a public health worker, but people who are working in all of these different workplaces and industries who need public health skills to do their job. But they may not be called a public health professional. And that's why an MPH, I think, will always struggle to be identified as a professional workplace degree for many of these workplaces, unlike an MD, which is a signal qualification for a doctor. There are no problems with accreditation and so forth about that. But with respect to the public health workplace, it's a bit different. For us, our MPH, which, as is the case with most modern schools of public health around the world, is our flagship degree, we too have had very large growth in enrolments in our MPH. And we've re-engineered that MPH to modernise it and make it more contemporary with what the needs of the workplace are. We've also, one of my main messages, and I'll come back to this tonight in my presentation, is the importance of seeing medicine not as a competitor in what public health is doing, but a very important ally. And again, I return to Kerr White and some of his main messages as he, in his very rich 97-year-long life, kept returning to, which is that the engagement of public health in the mainstream of medicine is fundamentally important. That if we marginalise public health, and for it to be seen either politically, socially, or scientifically as something which is a peripheral activity, we will never be in the game. So in order to actually have the impact that we believe is important, which reflects on the pillars of public health that others have mentioned this morning, pillars that relate to prevention, to health equity, and to efficiency of resource allocation within society, to recognising what the social determinants of health and health outcomes are, in the way in which we organise ourselves and our services within society. These are the fundamental elements of what public health is. For the future, the challenges that we face now, these have been alluded to in part this morning, and there aren't easy answers to these because we're all struggling with the technology impacts of science and what it's doing, because they have implications, enormous implications, for how we in public health and the public health sciences and also in the training organise ourselves. So these relate to, for example, the challenges of modern genomics and how that relates to both healthcare and healthcare delivery, but also to discovery, to causality, to the way in which evaluation occurs, clinical trials that relate to modern understanding of specific genetic determinants of outcome. This is, in particular, a major challenge for clinical trials. The whole issue of so-called personalised medicine or precision medicine and what my colleagues prefer to call precision public health is something, too, which we're really trying to come to grips with about how we're going to use this information in delivering health services, what are the ethical implications of this, what are the fundamental financial implications of health service delivery, efficiency and equity. More broadly, others have mentioned big data. So the analytic methodologies that are required to actually exploit big data are really only at the beginning of understanding this. The infatuation with data is enormous, and my medical colleagues who are drowning in their own data at the moment are really beginning to realise that dissecting signal from noise is something which is fundamentally important. So methods that understand this, that can deal with the genetic family and other implications for tweaking, if you like, the relationships between genes and environment, fundamental questions of causality over time, are actually much more challenging now than they ever were, although the data that are available to help us answer these questions are fantastic. And finally, I'd simply make the point that, and particularly looking and hearing the discussion from the University of Montreal as well as McGill in this city and the other universities in Montreal, it's the same in many of the big cities and the explosion of schools of public health in the US and around the world. the best centres don't have to do everything. They don't have to do everything well. But they do need to do some things well, and they do need to organise themselves in collaborations which actually recognise that both locally, in cities, in large cities like Montreal, in ways which are collaborative, but which, in the way in which our systems work, will always be competitive, I suspect. But understanding that we don't have to have the best of every single element of that rich range of disciplines and activities that are in the public health portfolio, if you like. And finally, in terms of the globalisation comments that were made by Howard and others, especially for us in Australia, our need to engage because of our remoteness is fundamental to our DNA. And particularly for the Asia Pacific and South Asia with India, China and Asia Pacific nations, Indonesia and so on, is fundamental to both our cultural thinking, our population, the way in which the recent migration waves are changing our society as well. These have fundamental implications for public health, for the way in which we as global citizens have responsibilities to engage with our neighbours in what we do to advance public health globally. And that too must be an element of a modern school of public health. So thank you very much. Thank you.